So reading from chapter 14, devotional qualifications. Some scholars recommend that knowledge and renunciation are important factors for elevating oneself to devotional service. But actually, that is not a fact. Actually, the cultivation of knowledge or renunciation, which are favorable for achieving a footing in Krishna consciousness, may be accepted in the beginning. But ultimately, they may also come to be rejected, for devotional service is dependent on nothing other than the sentiment or desire for such service. It requires nothing more than sincerity. It is the opinion of expert devotees that mental speculation and the artificial austerities of yoga practice may be favorable for becoming liberated from material contamination, but they will also make one's heart harder and harder. They will not help at all in the progress of devotional service. These processes are therefore not favorable for entering into the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Actually, Krishna consciousness, devotional service itself, is the only way of advancing in devotional life. Devotional service is absolute. It is both the cause and the effect. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause and effect of all that be. And to approach Him, the absolute, the process of devotional service, which is also absolute, has to be adopted. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita by the Lord Himself. One can understand me only through devotional service. In beginning His teaching of the Gita, the Lord said to Arjuna, "Because you are my devotee, I shall teach these secrets to you." Vedic knowledge means ultimately to understand the Supreme Lord. And the process of entering into His kingdom is devotional service. That is accepted by all authentic scriptures. Mental speculators neglect the process of devotional service. And by simply trying to defeat others in philosophical research, they fail to develop the ecstasy of devotion. In the 11th canto, 12th chapter, verse 31 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says, "My dear Uddhava, for persons who are seriously engaged in my service, the cultivation of philosophical speculation and artificial renunciation are not very favorable. When a person becomes my devotee, he automatically attains the fruit of the renunciation of material enjoyment, and he gets sufficient knowledge to understand the absolute truth. That is the test of advancement in devotional service. A devotee cannot be in darkness because the Lord shows him special favor and enlightens him from within." In the 11th canto, 20th chapter, verses 32 and 33 of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord further instructs Uddhava, "My dear friend, the profits derived from fruit of activities, austerities, the culture of philosophical knowledge, renunciation, and the practice of mystic yoga, charity, and all similar auspicious activities are automatically achieved by my devotees, those who are simply attached to me by loving service. These devotees have everything at their disposal, but they desire nothing outside of my devotional service. If ever a devotee should desire some material profit, like promotion to the heavenly planets, or some spiritual profit to go to the Vaikunthas, by my causeless mercy, his desires are very easily fulfilled. Actually, a person who is developing Krishna consciousness and still has some attachment to material enjoyment will soon be freed from such a tendency by regularly discharging devotional service under the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master." Srila Rupa Goswami then recommends that one should not be attached to material sense enjoyment, but should accept everything enjoyable which is in relationship to Krishna. For example, eating is necessary, and one wants some palatable dishes to satisfy his sense of taste. So in that case, for the satisfaction of Krishna, rather than for the satisfaction of the tongue, some palatable dishes may be prepared and offered to Krishna. Then it is renunciation. Let the palatable dishes be prepared, but unless they are offered to Krishna, one should not accept them for eating. This vow of rejecting anything which is not offered to Krishna is actually renunciation. By such renunciation, one is able to satisfy the demands of the senses. The impersonalists who try to avoid everything material may undergo severe austerities, but they miss the opportunity of being engaged in the service of the Lord. Thus, their renunciation is not sufficient for perfection. There are many instances where, following such artificial renunciation, without any contact with devotional service, the impersonalists again fell down and became attracted to material contamination. There are many supposed renouncers, even at the present moment, who artificially become sannyasis or renouncers, and outwardly claim that spiritual existence is truth and material existence untruth. In this way, artificially, they make a show of renunciation in the material world. However, because they cannot reach the point of devotional service, they fail to achieve the goal, and they again come back to material activities, such as philanthropic work and political agitation. There are many examples of so-called sannyasis who gave up the world as untruth, but again came to the material world because they were not seeking their real repose at the lotus feet of the Lord. So this is opening with this point of knowledge and renunciation, jnana and vairag. So then we see that this jnana and vairag, some then, are important factors for elevating oneself to devotional service. But then others say that it is not that important. Because here, the process of knowledge, gaining knowledge, means that one is studying the scriptures, trying to get an understanding of what is the absolute. And so then one is moving in this direction. And renunciation, then one is giving up so many things of the material world, trying to detach oneself from the material energy. And then by these two processes, then we feel that we will get to the process of devotional service, jnana and vairag. So this is the process of the path of renunciation, because that is also in with knowledge there must be renunciation, with renunciation there must be knowledge. So now, but Prabhupada points out that that's the desire for devotional service itself, that is what is giving us devotional service, not something else. That unless devotional service, we must have that desire. So then we see a very fine point here, that the devotional process is the devotion that we have in performing the process. That is the aspect. We may take advantage of so many things, but that itself does not make the thing. Right? We may take advantages of various pots and pans and knives and cutting tables and, you know, sinks and so many things to cook something. But the knives, the tables, the pots, the pans, these are not the cooking. Right? They are not the cause of cooking. Right? You have a kitchen full of these things. No cooking is happening. The pots and everything will sit there and nothing will happen. Right? So there has to be interest in cooking. Then things happen. So the devotee in his interest to serve Krishna then utilizes all these things in the Lord's service. Then there is devotional service. By the grace of the Lord. So, devotional service is that mood to want to serve the Lord, want to please the Lord. Then you get devotional service. Otherwise, it's not there. Someone may be very renowned, someone may be very knowledgeable, but they may not be a devotee. So, unless one takes up devotional service itself, then these are useful. And Krishna Prabhupada says in the beginning, one, you can take it in the beginning, meaning that someone is detached from the material world, has knowledge of this, and therefore they will turn to the Lord being inquisitive. Right? Like this. So in the beginning this may be of some interest. And because of their detachment from the material world, then very nicely they can progress. Because right? They don't have so many obstacles. But if we maintain an attachment for detachment, or an attachment for knowledge or mental speculation, then there is a difficulty. These will become obstacles. in the devotional path. So then Prabhupada points out is we may, in the beginning, need to enjoy and engage the senses. So then we will engage them in the Lord's service. We want to, Prabhupada gives the example, we want to eat something, want to engage the tongue in eating. So then we cook some nice things for Krishna. Then after we will accept what's there. Right? So that's there. We need to cook. We do it for Krishna. What would Krishna like? We cook for Krishna. Offer it the way Krishna likes it. And then this way, and then we honor it the way Krishna likes it. Then it becomes, this is renunciation. So real renunciation means in relationship to the Lord. Because the material world doesn't belong to us anyway. So even if we renounce the whole universe, we haven't renounced anything because it wasn't ours to begin with. You know? It wasn't ours to begin with. Many times here, devotees give the example. You go into a big bank, and then you stand in the middle of the lobby there, and then you announce very loudly, I renounce all the money in this bank. And everybody in the bank will just look at you. What do you mean? Are you crazy or something? None of this money here is yours anyway. What is yours to renounce? It doesn't belong to us. So the whole material world is not ours. So the difficulty is we are attached to enjoying it. Therefore, we consider the whole thing to be ours. You know, just some of it we've actually got control of, and people recognize is ours. And the rest of it, we haven't quite got control yet, and people have not recognized yet that we are actually the Lord and enjoyer of the whole universe. You know? The problem is they also think they're the Lord and enjoyer. So once they give up that, you know, false notion, then things will go very nicely. Right? So real renunciation means is it's engaged in the Lord's service. That's the actual thing. Because even if we want to give it up, but it's one, it's not ours. So we give up the thing giving up, that's not the big deal. The giving up is the desire to control and enjoy the different items. So we use them in Krishna's service. This becomes the renunciation of the senses. Instead of them trying to enjoy things how they like, then they engage in the Lord's service. Right? So this is real detachment, real renunciation. Right? In other words, when there's an activity, then we get a result. We think it's ours, then we give it up. But that's not actual renunciation. Right? Renunciation means you give up those activities that are, how you say, that create the work, create the result. So fruit of result, activities give fruit of result. Then one may renounce that. You know, that's called tyag. Right? Renunciation is giving up like this. But the best is we give up the activity which creates the fruit. So material activities create fruit. Spiritual activities are devotional service. So then by performing devotional service, there is no material fruit. So it's not material, it's renunciation. Even though it doesn't, may not look like it. One is cooking nice things for Krishna, one has a nice building for Krishna, one is doing so many activities, driving around in cars and dressing nicely and everything. But since it's for Krishna, that is renunciation. And if it's not for Krishna, it's not renunciation. It may look like renunciation, but it's not actually renunciation. So these are very fine points in the philosophy. So the consciousness is the whole thing. We are trying to be Krishna conscious, then everything becomes wonderful. We are not Krishna conscious, then it's material. So devotional service is based on our desire to please the Lord through devotional service. It says it's the means, it's the end. Devotional service is the means. And what is the result? We get devotional service. So devotional service is so nice that the devotee always wants more of it. So therefore they don't mind doing service and at the end getting more service. Because that is their interest. They want to please Krishna. That is what they want. How?
About Vairagya.
About Vairagya.
Once on devotee gave donation to one devotee, and then if you are he said that you believe in Guru Maharaj or Guru Maharaj, then other devotee said that why I can use it as a Yukta Vairagya. Then the devotee said that other devotee said that first you be Vairagya, then think of Yukta Vairagya first. So, in when can I consider and why again I can start using the principle of Yukta Vairagya?
Question is, when do we become a Vairagi that we can use the principle of Yukta Vairagya? Means, Yukta Vairagya means using everything in Krishna's service. So the point is everything should be used in Krishna's service. So we look what is the best way to engage something in Krishna's service. So that means our body, our mind, our words, whatever is in our possession, we try to use all that in Krishna's service. So what will be the best way? But there also means we need training also to know what is, how to serve, how to engage things nicely in the Lord's service. We also need some training. Otherwise, we don't know, we may not use properly. Vairagi means that one is a, how you say, a Vairagi means one who is giving up, right? So Vairagi would mean one who is not attached to the fruits. They perform the activity that gets fruits and they give them up. That's a Vairagi. Technically. Then sannyas or nyas means to give up the activity that creates the fruit. Right? So one can be a Vairagi and not be a devotee. Or one can be a Vairagi and not be so advanced in devotional service. Right? But to take up sannyas means the devotee is serious to please Krishna. So if we look at that principle, sannyas is not particularly an ashram. It's a state of consciousness. Therefore, one could have a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, anybody, if they're in that consciousness, that they are doing this for Krishna, then that is actual sannyas. When the body, the mind, and words are engaged in this Lord's service, that's sannyas. So that platform of consciousness is what one is trying to obtain. We may take advantage of the external systems of varna and ashram and other aspects of jnana and vairag to help us get to that position. But those themselves aren't what creates devotional service. The desire for devotional service is what will create the devotional service. And that we get by these last five processes that were described. In the association of devotees, we hear Bhagavatam, then we chant Hare Krishna, we worship the deity, we live in the Dham. These things then will give, these things then will give help, actually help us gain devotional service. Starting part, you could not understand. Means? Krishna, I think in the 17th chapter, he opens with that verse. I will describe to you what is sannyas and what is vairag. Right? Because they look to be the same. But they're not exactly the same. Tyag means I perform the activity, I get a result, then I give the result to Krishna. Sannyas means I only perform activities that are for Krishna's pleasure. Right? So then the result, we're not worried about. Right? In both, one is giving, there is a giving up there, seemingly. But in the one, it's I do something, I get the result, I give that up. The other is I give up the whole concept that I am actually the enjoyer. Therefore, Prabhupada's making the point about the impersonalists. They try to avoid everything material. They become very externally detached, but they haven't given up the idea that they are the enjoyer. Otherwise, they're God. So then, they're the enjoyer of everything, the Lord of everything. That they haven't given up. Right? Therefore, they again come down to philanthropic activities and that, because philanthropic means there's an activity, there's a result. Right? It's a pious activity, so pious activity creates result. I give in charity, I will get charity back. I feed people, I will get fed. I give cloth, I will get cloth. I give money, I will get money. So they fall down to those activities, so pious activities. So they never actually in their heart gave up the concept that they are the doer. But here the devotee gives up the idea that they are the doer. You know, in the beginning for some time that may be there to some degree. But even there giving things up for Krishna, it's still it's devotional service because it's for Krishna. So that is also then considered, that is the perfection of renunciation. The other person is thinking, you know, this is mine, I give it up. The devotee knows it's not mine, but I'm interested in that result. But I will do it for Krishna. Right? So somebody is cooking for themselves. Someone is cooking for Krishna, but they're interested in the prasad. And then someone is cooking for Krishna. They get the results or not, they're not worried. So in the beginning, then that aspect is there, but that's not, it is not the cause of the devotion. The service itself is the cause of devotional service. You understand? Almost. You understand? You understand? Yes. Renunciation, is it different?
So, how do we know if it's artificial?
How do we know if renunciation is artificial? Means one is doing something in relationship to one's nature. Then that, engaging that nature in the Lord's service, that will be the natural renunciation. Right? Just like the brahmacharis, they're sacrificing the hearing process. Right? The grihasthas, they're sacrificing the senses into the fire of the senses. Into yajna. I don't remember the others. But it's like this, is that grihastha may, for that ashram may need so many things, but those are all engaged in Krishna's service. So that becomes yukta vairagya. It is engaged in Krishna's service. So therefore, we are detached from it. It is secondary that we will do something and then some result is there, but that has been done for Krishna. And the result is also spiritual. And we depend upon Krishna for the result. So then that is renunciation. Therefore, in every stage, that's why the devotee is so unique. Doesn't matter what is their conditioned nature, then they are accepted as a Brahman. though they may have the occupational duties of the four varnas. But by conscious, because a Brahman is not just the duties they do, it's the realization and the understanding. So when a devotee understands, when someone becomes a devotee, it means he understands that everything is for the Lord's satisfaction. Now that takes some practice, that's called sadhana bhakti, that in all time, places, and circumstances, we remember that this is for the Lord. So in the beginning, we know it's for the Lord, but then we may forget. We know that this is Krishna prasad, but then we're eating so much and give this, that, and I don't want this and don't want that, and so many different things. But with good association and that, and by the process of chanting and other activities of devotional service, slowly, slowly then that will be, it will go away. Then we understand this is Krishna. Right? So that is there. So for the grihastha means they have all those things. Now to use them in Krishna's service, that's the proper renunciation. And then they can see by their own nature how much they require, that they're happy. Right? Because some people having more makes them satisfied. Some people having less makes them satisfied. So depending upon what it is that they are satisfied with, then they find that position. If it's they have more than what they are satisfied with, they give in charity. And if they have less than what they're satisfied with, they perform their duties. And then if Krishna wants them to have it, they'll get more. I mean, Krishna says here, he'll give them, you know, they desire to go to the heavenly planets or the Vaikunthas, he'll give that. So surely he can give, you know, other aspects, you know, other material things. He's the one to go to. We don't go to him, then we're saying something else is given. We can't depend on Krishna or can't depend on this or that. It doesn't say, see, idea is if I depend upon Krishna, I just sit there and do nothing and it just drops out of the sky. Right? But one performs one's duty. And by performing that duty, one will get what one needs. So depending upon one's nature, one should perform that duty. Right? So then it's just a matter of understanding one's nature. Right? Let's say someone is doing some kind of activity, but the result, their own maintenance and other things that they require, is they're not satisfied with it all, and their field is less. No one's taking care of this, that. So that means they're doing the wrong duty for Krishna. Right? Then that person should find some other duty. Because if they're doing the duty they like, let's say someone is a full-time pujari. They're doing full-time pujari service. Whatever comes from that, they'll be satisfied. If that is their nature, if that is their occupation, they'll be satisfied. So then they do that and they get what they need. But if one is not satisfied, one might find another occupational duty is what they require. And then by engaging in that, then they find that the results may be more to their liking. But it's still Krishna's duty. They're still doing it for Krishna. And they're doing it because this is their nature, right? There's a difference between doing the work because I want the result or doing the work because that's my nature and I'm supposed to serve Krishna with my nature. You understand? There's a difference. It'll look the same from outside, but the result of the consciousness of the devotee will be different. So then when one does that duty for pleasing Krishna and not for a particular result, then that is called renunciation. No, The natural next question would be, well, but then it seems contradictory because we're talking about the devotee being satisfied himself but satisfying Krishna. Means the devotee may be satisfied, but he sees that his conditioned nature is not satisfied. trying to bend your head around that one. Right? So, we may be very satisfied doing service all day, but we see that there's other needs that are there that are not addressed. You know, particularly service all day, what we would call various forms of sadhana, bhakti, preaching, or full-time temple service. We're taking that as the definition there. But let's say someone was going to be more satisfied doing business. That is their service. And they should be doing their business understanding it's Krishna's. The results are Krishna's. Right? But they are dealing with this money. They know how to get the money. It is their duty to see that it's used properly in the Lord's service. Therefore, they don't just let the money disappear. They see that it's properly engaged because they know money. Someone who doesn't necessarily know how to raise the money may not know how to use money. If money comes very easily to them, they just spend it very easily and they're not careful. So then they can see that it's engaged nicely in the Lord's service. Right? They give $1,000 for something. If they supervise its application, not in necessarily the way of deity worship or like that, that's another thing. Let's say they're giving for some other practical, they may know very nicely how to do that. So they can either do it themselves or give advice. The problem is there's so many fine individual aspects. But the point is it's being done for Krishna. We understand it's Krishna's. Like that. Satisfaction is, I'm satisfied doing this service for Krishna. In any case, we have to engage the body, mind, and words in the Lord's service. Right? And so, if one is satisfied in that position, then that is generally the position one has. That's good for it. But we must have knowledge what is the proper position and have training in that and try to fit properly. Because Krishna gives these eight positions that will work nicely in the social scene. And then one tries to endeavor for that to get that satisfaction. And if one is not satisfied, then maybe the consciousness is not proper, so we're not gaining the proper devotional satisfaction. Or we're not doing an activity that will actually satisfy us. Okay? If we don't find any activity satisfied with us, then we should ask others to give us some direction. Right? So it's a matter of... So I think the Manu, then he says, it must come from the scriptures. Right? So when we're talking about occupational duties, what is the proper thing to do? It must be based on the scriptures. It must be based on the authority of the acharyas, how they present the scriptures to us. Then direction of, teachers and others like that. And then our own satisfaction. So within the realm of what the scriptures and the acharyas give us, then we have to find something that satisfies us. We can't make up our own system, and that's speculative. We have to follow the system as is. Then it works nicely. Okay. So whatever one has, one engages in the Lord's service. Someone wants more, someone wants less. Whatever they have to engage in the Lord's service. They have to see it that it belongs. They belong to the Lord. It belongs to the Lord, and according to their position, then they take care of it. You know, like that. So that's that. That is that answer. Anything else on this? Yes.
You mentioned that the cause of devotional service is a desire for devotional service. So when you see that sometimes a desire may look like a devotional desire, but it is not, since it doesn't give the fruit of the devotional desire.
here. The question was, is that since devotional service we see is the means and it's also the goal or the result, then how do we know if what we're doing is proper devotional desire? Because it's based on desire, that sincerity to please Krishna through devotional service. What if it's not? What if it's something else? It's not giving the results, so how do we know? So that's the purpose of the scriptures and the directions of the acharyas and the association of devotees. So guru, sadhu, shastra, then we can tell whether it's proper or not. So if what we're doing doesn't seem to fit with the guru, sadhu, and shastra, then we have to make some adjustments. So either we can understand ourselves from the direction given, or we need to hear from others. Like that. So we always need to be analyzing and understanding. So this knowledge that is there means knowledge in relationship to devotional service. And then renunciation means that we're engaging the senses in the service of the Lord. The senses and what is in our possession in the Lord's service. Right? So that is there. Okay? Is that right?
If a brahmachari or a grihastha
gets a donation, should they engage it themselves in the Lord's service or should they give it to the guru? So the brahmacharis, the tradition is they don't keep money because they're dependent upon the teacher. The teacher feeds them, clothes them, takes care of them. Because they have to learn the principle of being taken care of by the Lord. Right? This will become very valuable later in life. So they don't worry about these things. So generally if they get money, then it is in some way or another then given to others to engage for them. Right? But the grihastha, then what they get, if they receive a donation, then they are in the mature position, right? They are senior to the brahmacharis. They're considered responsible. So then they may be engaging money. But they are also, as they receive charity, they're supposed to give in charity. Right? So like this, then it works both ways for them. Vanaprastas and sannyasis also the same. So the Brahmin, so they may engage the money according to their position and what is the, you know, the service and activities and responsibilities they have. I don't understand. Let me just, you either re-explain it or... Oh, what? How will that be useful later? Because either he will then stay a brahmachari and he will then just continue being dependent upon the Lord, or they become a grihastha, and then sometimes they start thinking that they are doing and collecting and making the arrangements. And then later on, when they become more mature, then they understand that the Lord's been maintaining them all along. It wasn't their own endeavor that has been maintaining them. Right? They have just been doing service for Krishna. And Krishna is giving the results how he wants. But when we're not so fixed, then we will think, I am getting the result. Therefore, I'm maintaining myself. But what are we maintaining? The modes of nature are doing everything. We are endeavoring. That is our duty. So according to our endeavor, then we will get that result. But we have to take the responsibilities of that. You understand? Means a grihastha is taking, he is performing his household duties. He's getting results from that. And he has responsibilities in the household, ashram, to take care of. Right? The brahmachari, he may be performing the activity that is giving some result, but because it's not his responsibility, the result, he doesn't engage. Right? Unless that is his particular duty to do. But he doesn't have the responsibility. Like the brahmachari is going out, somebody gives donation, it's not his business to take care of all the everybody else in the ashram. It's not his responsibility. Therefore, he doesn't have to take the money himself and see that everybody else is being fed this and that. Someone else is doing that. Right? He is just doing that part of the whole ashram scene. So then the results of his service go to the person that has given him that service, and that person then sees that everybody else is taken care of. Is this making any sense? Is this making any sense? You understand? In other words, brahmachari should be working under somebody else. If they're not working under somebody else, then it makes being a brahmachari much more difficult. Right? It means the brahmachari has his authorities that he works with. Then that makes life very easy for him. We don't like lumpy suits. Should we feel bad that you have not accepted our offering of a lumpy seat? Does that make any sense? Like that. So unless, yeah, especially when they're in the position of training. Right? But once they are trained, then they may take more responsibility, but still, we see then whatever is receiving is going into their service. It's like sannyasis. What they get goes into their service. Their service will be preaching or other things like this. So grihastha gets money, goes into his service, which is taking care of the family, giving in charity, and doing all these things. So that's the service. Right? So it looks like, you know, grihastha is giving less money, sannyasi is giving more money. Right? But they're both giving according to what is their service. Does that make any sense? Yeah. So the whole point is everybody's engaging their nature in the Lord's service. So Rupa Goswami continues. One should not give up anything which can be utilized in the service of the Lord. That is the secret of devotional service. Anything that can be utilized in advancing Krishna consciousness and devotional service should be accepted. For instance, we are using many machines for the advancement of our present Krishna consciousness movement. Machines like typewriters, dictating machines, tape recorders, microphones, and airplanes. Sometimes people ask us, why are you utilizing material products if you condemn the advancement of material civilization? But actually, we do not condemn. We simply ask people to do whatever they are doing in Krishna consciousness. This is the same principle on which in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna advised Arjuna to utilize his fighting abilities in devotional service. Similarly, we are utilizing these machines for Krishna's service. With such sentiment for Krishna or Krishna consciousness, we can accept everything. If the typewriter can be utilized for advancing our Krishna consciousness movement, we must accept it. Similarly, the dictating machine or any other machine must be used. Our vision is that Krishna is everything. Krishna is a cause and effect, and nothing belongs to us. Krishna's things must be used in the service of Krishna. That is our vision. This does not mean, however, that we should give up the principles of discharging devotional service or neglect abiding by the rules and regulations prescribed therein. In the neophyte stage of devotion, one must follow all the principles regulated by the authority of the spiritual master. The acceptance and rejection of things should always be in pursuance of the devotional principles. Not that one can independently manufacture some idea of what should be accepted or rejected. The spiritual master, as the visible manifestation of Krishna, is necessary. Notice the word visible. Therefore, to direct the devotee on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so here it's, whatever is there must not be given up. But it says here, but it must be engaged in devotional service and according to the rules and regulations. Like we have a microphone, we must engage it in Krishna's service. But how will we do it? According to the rules. It means we will speak about Krishna through the microphone. Right? We won't talk prajalpa or all kinds of other crazy things. So we won't compromise devotional service or not following the principles to engage it. But we won't not engage it because it's material. Because everything's material. The body's material. The air is material. Everything's material. Right? We may say, well, we won't use anything. But we're still breathing. We still have the body. And why are we keeping those? So, like this, we have to be able to engage everything in the Lord's service. But according to the direction of the scriptures, as given to us by the spiritual master. Right? So then nothing is given up. Therefore, you see, we have all modern things, this and that, we use for Krishna. But they should be used for Krishna. Right? If they're not used for Krishna, then that's not good. If they're used for Krishna, then that's proper. Right? And used according to the rules. Okay? Then that makes things very nice. Then regarding the spiritual master. The spiritual master must never be carried away by an accumulation of wealth or a large number of followers. A bona fide spiritual master will never become like that. But sometimes, if a spiritual master is not properly authorized, and only on his own initiative becomes a spiritual master, he may be carried away by an accumulation of wealth and large numbers of disciples. His is not a very high grade of devotional service. If a person is carried away by such achievements, then his devotional service becomes slackened. One should therefore strictly adhere to the principles of disciplic succession. A Krishna-conscious person, being naturally purified, has no need of developing any other purificatory process of thought or action. On account of his being highly elevated in Krishna consciousness, he has already acquired all the good qualities and is following the rules and regulations prescribed for the mystic yogic process. Such rules are automatically practiced by the devotees. A concrete example is the quality of nonviolence, which is considered a good qualification. A devotee is naturally nonviolent and therefore doesn't have to practice nonviolence separately. Some people seek purification by joining a vegetarian movement, but a devotee is automatically vegetarian. He doesn't need to practice separately in this matter or to join any society for vegetarians. He is automatically a vegetarian. There are many other instances showing that a devotee needn't practice anything but Krishna consciousness. All the good qualities of the demigods automatically develop within him. Those who are intentionally practicing to be vegetarians or to become nonviolent may have good qualification by a material estimation, but these qualifications are not sufficient to make them devotees. A vegetarian is not necessarily a devotee, nor is a nonviolent person, but a devotee is automatically both vegetarian and nonviolent. We must conclude, therefore, that vegetarianism or nonviolence is not the cause of devotion. In this connection, there is a story in the Skanda Purana about a hunter who was converted into a great devotee under the instruction of Narad Muni. When the hunter became a perfect devotee, he was not prepared to kill even an ant. Parvata Muni, a friend of Narada's, saw the wonderful transformation of the hunter by devotional service and remarked, "My dear hunter, your unwillingness to kill even an ant is not very astonishing. Any person who develops the devotional attitude has all the good qualities automatically manifested in his person. A devotee is never a cause of distress to anyone." Rupa Goswami affirms herein that purification of consciousness, purification of bodily activities, austerities, peace of mind, etc., are all become automatically manifest in the person who is engaged in devotional service. So, if one engages in devotional service, then all these qualities come automatically. That means one has to engage in devotional service and according to the rules and regulations that are given. According to one's place of advancement, then one will advance nicely. But one must follow these things. Then automatically these come. They automatically come. It's still not the principle, as we mentioned before, that we just sit down and do nothing and automatically they will come. It means we must perform our devotional activities, our devotional duties. Then by performance of these devotional duties, then these qualities automatically come. Right? If the duty is, do not commit offenses towards anyone. Right? It's one of the duties of chanting Hare Krishna. Do not offend the devotees. So then automatically that means we have to become humble. Right? Or as we see, one of the principles that Chitraketu is mentioning is the devotee sees whatever is happening by is the mercy of the Lord. So even if something seems to be materially unfavorable, the devotee understands it's the Lord's mercy because I deserve this anyway for my past misdeeds, and now this will help me remember the Lord. So then automatically he sees the Lord's hand, he is not thinking others, blaming others. He is a very nice person to work with and deal with. He follows these directions of devotional service. Right? These are the main principles on which it is based. Then you may have so many little details. But if we follow devotional service as it is presented and take on this, you know, we are more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, always offering respect to others. These are the regulations of devotional service. One follows those, then the one gets a very nice result. One gets a very good result. Like that. So then this becomes very good. If we can somehow or another engage in devotional service according to the directions of the scriptures and the acharyas, then automatically these qualities come. But it's not that we can avoid following the direction of scripture and automatically everything will come. No, it comes automatically with the performance of the devotional service. Right? That's how it comes. So this is the meaning of automatic. We're doing something. Generally we think of automatic means I do nothing and I get. Right? Like I say, the machine is automatic, so that means I don't have to do anything. Right? So here, automatic means you perform your devotional activities and without having to perform any material activities to get material qualifications of good qualities. You know, non-violent, here the example of non-violence and becoming a vegetarian. They don't have to be separately endeavored for. Okay. They come automatically. You know, just like the performance of our other duties, then automatically we see the dharma, artha, kama, all this is coming. That's automatically taken care of. We just perform the devotional activities as is directed. Then it becomes very, very nice. Mentions here that spiritual master must not be carried away by an accumulation of wealth or a large number of followers. Because if that is seen as that is the result, or that is the benefit, or that is the... that is the sign of advancement, then this is not proper. Because prestige is also one of the things to be given up. Right? Na danam, na janam, na sundarim. So these aspects must be there. Spiritual master cannot be carried away by these things. Because if one performs devotional service properly, one is steady in devotional service, these things are going to come automatically. They are also automatically coming. But one cannot think that these are become attached to these or become sided, diverted by these things. Because devotional service automatically has the mystic siddhis and dharma, artha, kama, moksha as servants. Right? For the devotee, these are standing at the door waiting to give some service. So they will come. But one cannot become disturbed by them. What one can engage in the Lord's service, that is engaged. And what one can't, then one leaves that for others to engage. One does not... He does not take on unnecessary disciples, unnecessary wealth. So whatever can be engaged in the Lord's service, that is engaged, and not more. And that's all. Any other questions on this?
What the reason some spiritual masters don't accept a single disciple?
Why do some spiritual masters not accept a single disciple? I see. Means if you are counting spiritual master in the realm of both siksha and diksha, it depends what you mean by disciple.
What
initiated diksha disciple. So then, if one is taking that, then they may not feel, how you say, some don't want to take that kind of responsibility. Or some feel that they wouldn't be able to deal with that kind of responsibility. So they'll give advice, they'll give direction, but they don't want to take on that kind of responsibility. But they'll give instructions, they'll give directions, so that's very valuable. So then one should take that, if one has some faith in that person or that, then take the instructions.
The parampara,
will the parampara stop in that way? At least at this present time, I wouldn't expect. See, if there's only one devotee left on the whole planet, and that's it, you know, right? These are all, what, eighth grade scenarios, right? You get these in English writing class. There's no other devotees on the planet. You're the only devotee. And that, so do you give initiation and then carry on, or do you not give, right? And then you have to write 3 pages on this and get graded. No? I don't know. At least in America we had to put up with these things. I don't know. The point is we don't find that situation happening. So you don't have to worry if one person is not giving initiation, then the whole, you know, devotional process is going to stop. It's not. It won't. We don't have to worry. Right? We don't have to worry for that. So the point is if you have in mind some particular person, they're not wanting to give initiation, then you hear from them. Because the point is what is it of value you get from the association of devotees? It's instruction. So therefore, that is what we look for in the association of devotees. Instruction, either they give us some instruction or by their example, we feel we are educated. So that is what is to be gained. The diksha aspect is just for establishing us, how you say, that we are serious about this process of hearing, you know, accepting the knowledge about Krishna, following that knowledge, that's instruction. And it gives us the right to perform the deity worship, which is also a very nice aspect of the devotional activities. Right? So then one doesn't have to worry. If one person is not giving, then other people are there. Does that make any sense? Anything else on this? Rupa Goswami affirms herein that there are 9 different kinds of devotional service, which are listed as hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshipping the deity in the temple, praying, carrying out orders, serving Krishna as a friend, and sacrificing everything for him. Each and every one of these processes is so powerful that if anyone follows even one single one of them, he can achieve the desired perfection without fail. For example, if one is attached simply to hearing about the Lord, and another is attached to chanting the glories of the name, both will achieve their desired goal in devotional service. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, this has been explained. One may execute 1, 2, 3, or all of the different processes of devotional service, and at the ultimate end, he will achieve the desired goal of being established in devotional service. There are concrete examples of how a devotee discharged one of these services and achieved perfection. King Parikshit achieved the desired goal of life simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami achieved the desired goal of life simply by reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj became successful in his devotional service by always remembering the Lord. Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, was successful by engaging herself in massaging the lotus feet of the Lord. King Prithu became successful by worshipping in the temple. Akrura became successful by offering prayers. Hanuman became successful by rendering personal service to Lord Ramachandra. Arjuna became successful by being a friend of Krishna. And Bali Maharaj became successful simply by offering all of his possessions to Krishna. There are also examples of devotees who discharge all the different items together. In the 9th canto, 4th chapter, verses 18, 19, and 20 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a statement about Maharaj Ambarish, who followed every one of the devotional processes. In these verses, Sukadeva Goswami says, King Ambarish first of all concentrated his mind on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and then engaged his speech in describing the pastimes and activities of the Lord. He engaged his hands in washing the temple of the Lord. He engaged his ears in hearing of the transcendental glories of the Lord. He engaged his eyes in seeing the beautiful deity in the temple. He engaged his body in associating with the pure devotees of the Lord. When you associate with someone, you have to sit down together, eat together, etc. And in this way, the touch of your body with his body is inevitable. Ambarish Maharaj made his association only with pure devotees and did not allow his body to be touched by anyone else. He engaged his nostrils in smelling the flowers and tulsi offered to Krishna. And he engaged his tongue in tasting Krishna Prasad, food prepared specifically for offering to the Lord, the remnants of which are taken by the devotees. Maharaj Ambarish was able to offer very nice prasad to Krishna because he was a king and had no scarcity of finances. He used to offer Krishna the most royal dishes and would then taste the remnants as Krishna prasad. There was no scarcity in his royal style. because he had a very beautiful temple wherein the deity of the Lord was decorated with costly paraphernalia and offered high-grade food. So everything was available, and his engagement was always completely in Krishna consciousness. The idea is that we should follow in the footsteps of great devotees. We are unable to execute all of the different items of devotional service. We must try to execute at least one of them, as exemplified by previous acharyas. We are engaged in the execution of all of the items of devotional service, as was Maharaj Ambarish. Then the perfection of devotional service is guaranteed from each one of these items. With the first complete engagement, one becomes automatically detached from material contamination, and liberation becomes the maidservant of the devotee. This idea is confirmed by Bilva Mangal Thakur. One develops unalloyed devotion to the Lord, liberation will follow the devotee as his maidservant. Srila Rupa Goswami says that the regulative principles of devotional service are sometimes described by authorities as the path of serving the Lord in opulence. So these different rules and regulations, then, they are the path of worshipping the Lord in opulence. So this is according to Vaidhi Bhakti, the opulent temple worship and rules and regulations. So this is the aspect of worshipping the Lord, is the deity worship, but also the aspect of serving the Lord, servitorship. Because by that, then opulence is there, the whole Varnashram aspect is there, all these things that are then engaged in the Lord's service. So any of these things then can be used in the Lord's service. So, looks like the time has come. So this is the end of chapter 14. So we'll end here, and then tomorrow's class will be chapter 15, Spontaneous Devotional Service. Srila Rupa Goswami Pada Ki, Srila Prabhu Pada Ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda Ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.